Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
It goes way back to the Prophet Muhammad himself, who lived in the 7th century. And one of the reasons he said, don't depict me, don't portray me, is because he was worried about idol worship, about Muslims beginning to worship him instead of Allah. And that's sort of what led to this proscription against depicting Muhammad.
That's a Dan Gilgoff. He's formerly CNN's Belief blog editor, a religion reporter, giving a little background analysis on recent news regarding Muslim uproar over depictions of Muhammad. And with Gilgoff's departure from CNN's Belief blog, he offered some ideas on religion journalism as a basic part of journalism in general. And it gives us a good opportunity here at the beginning of this year to reflect upon media coverage of religion. Joining us to do that and to give some thoughts on some other stories she's been watching, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's always wonderful to be here.
You had an opportunity to kind of reflect on what religion reporting can be and actually is with the exodus of Dan Gilgoff from the CNN Belief blog. Tell us what you discovered there, good basic thinking on how religion ought to be covered.
Well, to give the larger perspective, CNN was kind of late to the game in adding a God beat area, but they started their Belief blog a couple of years ago, and it has had some of my very favorite coverage of religion news. They do hard news reporting, they do opinion and analysis, and they just present a nice across-the-spectrum viewpoint from a variety of different voices, and they've just done fantastic work, and a lot of it has seeped into the actual broadcast journalism of CNN. And it's just a great site. But sadly, one of the two directors of the blog has left, and his name is Dan Gilgoff. And he wrote up 5 things that he learned while he did his 3 years of editing that Belief blog. And it was just interesting to get his take on what was important and what wasn't. Obviously, he said one of the big stories that happened under his tenure was the rise in nuns, N-O-N-E-S, in the religious landscape, and that obviously is just a huge story that will be playing out for years to come. But one of my favorite things that he said was that religion reporting should not be an inside game. And this is really so much about what we do at Get Religion, is we want journalists in general to understand the tremendous role that faith and religion play in all of the big stories that are out there. Every year, at the end of the year, they'll have come out with these lists of the big stories of the year. And whether they are specifically religion-oriented or not, they always have this element of religion in them. I mean, all of our global political conflicts and whatnot have these streams of religion that need to be understood if you're going to report them fairly. But he said it's a need-to-know issue. It's not optional. This is just something that people, reporters, really need to understand the role that religion plays in all of the stories they cover. And when you make sure that you're thinking about the role religion plays, it opens up so many wonderful hooks and angles for exploring a story that a ton of other reporters are covering. So I thought that was great that he pointed that out.
Another thing that Gilgoff pointed out was that the news media isn't particularly anti-religion. What did you make of his statements there, and what further questions did it raise in your mind?
Yeah, I always find this interesting because I worked in a variety of newsrooms, and I wouldn't really say that reporters are anti-religion, but I don't really think that's the problem that a lot of people are sensing when they talk about the weird way that the media approach religious news. And, his point is very important, that it's not necessarily true that the media is anti-religion, and that a lot of people who are journalists are, in fact, fascinated by religion, and they love to cover it. It's just difficult to cover, and it can scare reporters off, because if you get something wrong, people get really upset. And that is certainly true. And that's, this is his viewpoint, so I don't want to step all over his viewpoint, but it got me thinking that I first of all wish that reporters would be a little bit more reflective about the criticism that we receive. It is hard. I mean, it's so hard when you write a story and you immediately have people calling you names on the internet and they're all, writing you typo-ridden notes saying that you're the worst person in the universe. And you build up this defensive reflex. But sometimes I wish that we would try and just be more open to understanding, why is it that religious people seem to think that we're so bad at covering their news, the news that's important to them? Why is it that they think we don't care about the things that they care about? And I would just encourage, and I try and do this, and I would encourage everyone to do it, to just think about what we could do better, what we've done wrong, and not be so defensive about it. Because clearly, if you have a ton of people all saying generally the same thing, that they think that the media are hostile to their particular religious views, that's worth ruminating on. And to say that the news media isn't anti-religion is one thing, but are they anti a certain type of religion? I think that's probably obviously true. They particularly don't like those people who actually believe that what they believe is true. They're much more open to religious beliefs where people are not so certain in their beliefs. There are all sorts of ways that the media can exhibit a bias that is anti-aspects of religion, even if it's not anti-religion in general.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest during this hour. We'll have her on the other side of the break. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. When we come back, a few more general reflections on religion coverage, and then we'll turn to a story about you didn't read it in most outlets, story about this Passion 13 conference where 60,000 young adults gathered in Atlanta and why it wasn't covered. Stay tuned.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, January the 9th, we're talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a reporter in Washington, D.C., getting her thoughts on religion coverage in general. So, Molly, it sounds like what you're saying there is that religion journalists, like every area of journalism, they simply need to pause occasionally and check themselves for any potential blind spots.
Well, it's something that all of us, no matter what our vocation, should always do. When we hear criticism, we should try and be open to it. But yes, for religion journalists specifically, I think that we should always try and be wondering what is the issue that we're having trouble with. Or when we receive particular criticism, is there merit to that criticism, even if it was phrased poorly, even if the person who made the criticism is kind of unlikable? Was there anything of value in that that could help me be a better reporter or editor or whatnot?
You've also written recently about story choice and how very important it is when it comes to any kind of journalism, but especially the coverage of religion stories. You got a great example of kind of story non-choice having to do with Passion 2013, this 60,000 strong attended young person gathering in Atlanta, Georgia. Tell us what's going on.
So speaking of weak spots, I'm pretty sure this is one of my weak spots, is that I don't really follow what's happening among a lot of evangelical Christians. And we were flooded with comments from people, including some people with very big names, who just noted that nobody covered this large evangelical conference. It's, I guess, college students or whatnot. And they noticed it. And I just want to tie that back into this, what Dan Gilgroff was saying about how the media aren't anti-religion. When you fail to cover a really huge conference like this, but you cover every little tiny conference of theological innovation, it can lead people to think that you're being biased against them. And so this would be just a great example of when we might want to ruminate on whether a criticism is legitimate. But anyway, so there was a huge gathering in Atlanta. It wasn't covered by hardly anybody. I mean, I think the CNN blog covered it, but they're local in Atlanta. And there were a couple other local radio, TV, newspaper, and then the Christian media, of course, covered it. But it's hard to even talk about what stories were missed, because I don't know what stories were missed, because nobody covered it. Now, the two things that I would think would be interesting to cover about this would be, one, even though it's this large sort of feel-good gathering of young Christians, it was not without controversy. I mean, you can, on your own show, you have people who have talked about problems they have with some of the theology that was shared at this event, or the methodology used at these conferences. And so that would be a great and controversial and interesting story about disputes within Christianity on what is being taught at something like this. Another thing is that today I'd read that President Obama announced the names of the two people who would be giving invocation and benediction at his inauguration. And I hadn't even heard of the name of the one guy before. And I look him up, and sure enough, he's the guy who leads this Passion conference. I'm totally forgetting his name now. Yes. So when you fail to cover a large event like this, and then you have something like the president handpicking this guy to give his invocation, and you don't know who he is, I mean, I think it's proof positive that we're missing out on a story when we don't know who these people are, and we don't see them mentioned, and yet they're playing large roles in major national events.
One other story I wanted to talk to you about. Give us just the lowdown of it here, if you would. It has to do, and you've written about it, forgiveness and what you called restorative justice and how it's covered in the media.
Yeah, so the New York Times, frequently gets a lot of criticism for how it covers social issues and religious issues with an eye toward advocacy. But occasionally they also do some really just amazing journalism that includes a religion angle, and this is an example of it. In the New York Times Sunday magazine, there was a story about this 19-year-old boy who shot and killed his girlfriend of 3 years, turned himself into the police station. And then what happens is just this beautifully written story. It's an amazing story about how the mother and father of the girl who was killed end up forgiving the boy who killed their daughter, and they sought to decrease his sentence using something called restorative justice. And it was just a beautifully constructed and told story. These people are devout Catholics. They did what they did because of what they believe about what Jesus taught. And this is not hidden up or covered up in any way. It's completely told throughout the story. There are other religion angles that are very interesting that are told in the story. And it was fascinating. I actually think that this would be a great example of a type of story that could be told more. To explain really quickly about restorative justice, the idea is you take all the people that were affected by the crime, including the victim, the family of the victim, the community, and the criminal, and you have them work together in consensus work toward consensus about what the sentence should be. And it's been used a little bit for lesser crimes and not really for murder. And so that's what was so interesting about this story, is that it was used in part for dealing with a murder. Now, the prosecutor did not completely buy into the whole approach. He did ask for a much shorter sentence than he would have under normal conditions, 20 years instead of 40 years or more. But it just brings up so many interesting ideas about the role of the church, the role of the state. If forgiveness is a proper role for the state, what justice means, all these things about the interplay between forgiveness and justice and whatnot. And it's just a fascinating story, and I hope that we would see more journalism exploring issues like this.
One of the things that I noted about that New York Times story is that it wasn't like the reporter had to or even did go out of their way to pursue the religion angle. It was told as part of the natural story. The story was compelling enough in and of itself, and there was no artificiality about it. There was no, oh, by the way, here's the religion angle. It was the story.
Right. And I think that it takes a very good reporter and a very good editor to be able to weave those elements into the story naturally. The thing is, a lot of people do talk about religion and the motivation that it gives them for different parts of what they're doing, even on things that seemingly have nothing to do with religion. But reporters have difficulty quoting it sometimes. They have difficulty understanding how to include it, particularly if it's a different language than what they would normally use, or if they're not familiar with the way religious people express themselves. But I thought this reporter did a fantastic job of just, yeah, it's just the way it was. It was just part of the story. It would have been horrible to not include it, and I think the way it was included was very natural and unvarnished, and it was very beautifully done.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.